Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 conference call of Delta Corp Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kishan Mundhra from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you, Michelle. Good evening, everyone. And on behalf of Antique Broking, I welcome you all to the post Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Delta Corp. And today the company is represented by Mr. Anil Malani, who's the CFO, Mr. Manoj Jain, who's the COO, and Mr. Pragnesh Shah, who's the VP Finance. So today's session would first be a brief on the results by the management, and would be followed by a question and answer round. And with that, I would now like to hand the call over to the management. Over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to Delta Corp Limited third quarter results investor call. I'd like to introduce you first to my team. I have Pragnesh Shah with me in Mumbai, Vice President, Finance. Manoj Jain, joining us from Goa, he's our Chief Operating Officer, and Anil Malani here. This actually is the first full complete quarter post the introduction of the new GST tariff and methodology introduced by the government. So I'm sure you guys have got several questions which needs to be answered. We'll be happy to provide all the answers with full clarity and to the best of our ability. The results have been declared, and most of you would be familiar with that. So without wasting any more time, we would like to take the questions from our investor fraternity.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So as you mentioned that, you know, this is the first complete quarter after the new GST introduction. So if you can, you know, broadly, take one example of, let's say, 1,000 or 5,000 rupees and, help us understand how it was charged earlier and, how on the ground level now we are charging the GST and how much actually consumer, gets to play. So if you can take one example and help us understand.
Manoj, do you want to take this question?
Yeah. Hi. So just to understand your question, you said that, you know, how the GST was charged earlier, pre-first October, and how it is charged in the quarter, which third quarter, which basically effective first October, we changed our GST method because the government introduced a new GST law, right? Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let me explain and to you and everyone on the call. So pre-first October, the GST was obviously absorbed by us only, and we used to pay 28% on our gross gaming revenue, which was our basically the table revenues. Okay? And we were paying 28% on an inclusive basis. So it used to basically effectively cost us 21.875% of our gross gaming revenue. If we made hypothetically, let's say 200 crores GGR, which is the table revenue, we were paying 21%, which is around, let's say, 43 crores. Post 1st October, now we are supposed to pay 28% GST, not on the GGR which we are doing, but on the sale of chips which we are selling. So just to take an example, if we are now selling, let's say, 1 lakh rupee chips, okay, then we are now liable to pay 28% GST, again on an inclusive basis, on 1 lakh rupees. And, you know, that again works out to 21,000 rupees. So what is happening is now our GST is payable on the sale of chips, not on the gross gaming revenue. Now, our gross gaming revenue to sale of chips is around 70%. Okay, so basically our cost has gone up on that 30% additional, which is basically the chips which were encashed by the players. On that 21% is the cost which has gone up. So effectively it works out to around 6% extra on our GGR, basically the GST cost.
So you said GGR is around 70% of the chips sold.
Yeah, GGR is the 70% of our chips sold right now.
Okay, and this 6%, so basically what you are saying that let's say if I come and play and if I exchange, say, pay 1,000 rupees and you will give me the chips of 1,000 rupees and not net of GST.
So what we are doing now is that, you know, we realize obviously that, you know, the GST cost, obviously the player is not going to take because we did a lot of experiments in month of October and November, and what we did is that now we are basically giving a full value of chips, okay, in which there are some promotional chips and there are full cash chips as well. So those promotional chips are given in lieu of GST, and players who are basically coming into our casino are getting actually the full value, but they have to compulsory lose those chips on the table. So that is basically that's how we are kind of recovering our GST costs.
Okay, and now, so this drop in the revenue on a year-on-year basis, so is there an impact of GST or there was a less?
So what happens is, so good question. So there were two, three things which actually one has to look at in Q3 compared to Q2 or maybe Q3 last year, that this year there was an impact of GST. In month of October and November, because what happened is because of that, a lot of people were reluctant to come, and, you know, we were initially deducting 20%, actually 21% was not possible to deduct, so we were deducting 20% and giving only 80% of the chips. So that was initially in month of October and November we were doing. And then apart from that, there was a World Cup which was going on, which also basically, you know, have always an impact on our visitation. And apart from that, you know, there's a Diwali which always have been, you know, a lull period of almost a week, 10 days. So that's the reason why, you know, we had an impact in our revenues. Okay, that's why our revenues were lower. But interesting part which I can sort of tell everyone on this call is that, you know, December had a very good run rate, and it had the same run rate what we used to do in our previous quarters. So we are kind of, we were back on our normal operation in month of December.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you just share the visitation number and the net realization per visitation for this quarter and the same quarter last year? So we'll, you know, clearly understand the impact which has come through because of the newer regulatory norms.
Yeah, Manoj, go ahead.
Yeah, we had in our India operations, for our gaming operations in India, we had for this quarter, for December quarter, we had 124,000 paid customers, which was actually 4% lower compared to the previous quarter, which was September. So in September, we had 129,000 visitation. And interestingly, it was 6% lower compared to same quarter last year. In last year, we had 132,000 visitation compared to 124,000 this year. So like I said, there was an impact. And also, I wanted to mention that, you know, there were a lot of people this year chose different destination over Goa. You know, people have gone abroad and all of that, and we could see that in hotel occupancy here and the general arrivals at the airports. So that's why the visitation number were lower compared to previous quarter and the same quarter last year. I think GGR per visitation were probably be more or less the same, but that number, you know, we'll get back to you. You know, Pragnesh would probably get your details and we'll send you those details.
No, so you're saying as of now, the spends per head was similar.
It's the same, more or less the same. But our visitation were lower. It may be probably 3-5% lower. But it's and like I said, in month of December, it has come back to the same sort of run rate.
Sir, we would like to understand only for the quarter. So spends is same at the net level after GST? Or after GST, it has to be 6% lower, right?
It has to be 6% lower, right? Because that is our cost which has gone up. So what happens is usually the GGR is always calculated on the table, which will be less by 6% because the value of the chips is gone down by 6% anyways, right?
Mm-hmm. And at the gross level, is it down by any chance?
No, so gross level, it will be down if there are visitations are lower. Okay, so on an average, the GGR would be more or less same. But like I said, the visitation were lower. That's why
Spends per head at the gross level is the same, right?
Yeah.
Whatever is the difference is because of the GST impact of about 6-7%.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Right. So 6% lower visitations and about 6% lower net revenue. So about 12% lower.
Correct.
So 221 into 0.88. So you come to about 194 crores of revenue. But you still have 181 on a YOY basis. So, is there any other explanation for the lower number?
Let me check that, how you are calculating. But like I said, we'll give you the breakup if you want, how it came down. Okay, there were little bit of intra-group incomes also, which was slightly lower compared to this quarter and last quarter.
No, I just did the gaming number. So, I just did the casino number.
No, only casino. In casino also, there are some intra-group transactions which happens. So that also was lower compared to, you know, because there is some rev share we do for our offline business and online business.
So that's just a 2 crore differential number, which I can see from your P&L. So.
Yeah, so we'll get back to you on that. Maybe I don't have those details yet.
Okay, my other question is, does the licensing fee, when will be the license fee renegotiation happen? And is there a scope for any reductions in the fixed cost by any methods even in the future?
So fixed cost obviously doesn't go down. That's the reason why it is the fixed cost. Mm. Okay. And as far as license fees is concerned, so I'm not aware if there's any conversation our head office is having with government to reduce the license fees because the GST cost has gone up. So that maybe I'm not aware of it. Having said that, the variable cost has come down a little bit, okay, which was obviously kind of, you know, if you look at the cost has not come down overall, but our variable cost came down because of the lower visitation, but that was kind of offset against our legal cost, which went up in this quarter because of all the, you know, the GST related cases which are going on because of that.
Okay.
I'll just like to add here, Pritesh, that we are having conversation, multiple actually, on the license fees. But as you know, that the government has suggested that they'll review the whole thing after a period of 6 months. So that's the time we're going to be taking up all these several other parameters that we need to really look into.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Anushree from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, sir. So I have a few questions around our CAPEX plans. So how much of the total CAPEX of the new ship is pending?
Okay. The total outlay is roughly between 280 to 290 crores. About 175 crores has already been invested, and the balance remainder should be will be deployed over a few months of this year. The project is on schedule and it's being built, and it's taking up a good shape.
Okay, and by when do you expect it to be done, the ship to come online?
So it should be in the river third quarter of this year, and hopefully we should either manage to get some revenue from that ship in the third quarter or definitely in the fourth quarter.
Okay. And another question being on the land that was purchased for the integrated resort project, in which we have invested close to around 130 crores. So what's the plan for that land now?
So you're right, about 125-130 crores has been invested for the land. Another 45-50 crores has been invested for various licensing and regulatory clearances that was required. For now, the project has been divided into three phases. The first phase probably would be the theme park, which we are addressing. There is a proposal to look at that, and whilst the overall project was slightly kept on hold to wait for the outcome of the GST, which has now come, so we are in the process of deciding to go ahead with phase one and subsequently phase two, which would be a part hotel and retail, and the third phase would be all of the rest. So that's the update on the integrated resort that we had planned.
Okay, so the land-based casino is still under consideration for the project or not?
Not really. Now that the clarity has been received with respect to the methodology and how we are going to be charging GST, so like my colleague Manoj had mentioned earlier, we have taken several steps and we have pivoted towards ensuring that we are able to retain our customers. They come back and they spend and we go back to our GGR pre the new tariff that was introduced. So I think current quarter and maybe one more quarter where we'll probably go through these processes, and we are pretty much confident that quarter starting July, we should be back to our original revenues as was done previously. But the real growth would probably come in only after our new vessel comes into the river, because that's going to double our existing capacity.
Okay. And lastly, sir, on our CAPEX plans for the hotel in Miramar that we have, so how much have we invested yet in the property and how much is still pending?
Yeah. So, so if you recollect that the project was actually meant to be a residential project, subsequently to complement our casino business, the company took a call to convert it into an hospitality project. Keeping the existing structure in mind, we have actually already spent about 190 crores on the project, which includes land cost. We are envisaging to spend another 175 crores to make about a 450-plus five-star deluxe hotel.
Okay. So the additional money that we are going to invest, is that to convert or modify it into a hotel or?
Not really modify, but yes, to convert to a hotel, because the original plan, like I mentioned, and which we had also explained earlier, was for a residential complex. So there is a little bit of internal modifications that we will need to do to bring it up to the scale that we are expecting it to be.
Okay, and what is the timeline for commercializing that property?
So all going well, subject to various approvals, we are looking at a timeline of about 18 to 24 months.
Okay, thanks, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. We'll take the next question from the line of Puneet Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had two questions. One, what was the GST amount that was paid for this quarter? I think you used to give that number last time. This quarter, if you can give that number. And second question is, how have our packages changed after the October, I mean, month we have had this entire GST implementation? How have our packages changed in terms of the kind of freebies or free chips that we give, bonus coins or whatever? And so if you can just explain about these two things.
So, Puneet, I'll let Manoj answer that question, but I didn't quite catch the first part of your question.
GST, what was the GST amount paid for this quarter?
Go ahead, Manoj.
Yeah, so how much the GST we paid for this quarter, that I'll, Pragnesh would be able to answer that, because, you know, I don't know exactly all the numbers, but for offline business, we have paid additional around 7 to 8 crores extra GST we paid. But I think Puneet is looking for a total number, so that we'll give it to him. Now, Puneet, coming to the second part of the question, okay, before October 1st, what we were doing is we used to have three F&B packages, okay, where we used to charge 3,000, 4,000 and 5,000, and the difference between these three packages were purely liquor, which we were offering on board Delphine Royale. Okay, and then we used to have a weekend rate which was 500 rupees more than the weekday rate. And also apart from this, we used to have a gaming offer where the customer could pay 500 inside on board at the cage and get one time promotional 1500 rupee chips. Okay, so basically, effectively, he's paying 3000 rupees to enter and experience our F&B facilities. Casino entry to casino was free, and he used to go pay 500 rupees at the cage and get 1500 rupee chips because we want him to buy the chips. So that was one-time promotional offer, was offered till 30th September. Come 1st October, what we did is, we basically kept our rate as 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 only. And what we did is, we removed this gaming offer of 500 to 1,500 because there was a GST which was paid on the entire 1,500 rupees worth of chips which we were giving in, and charging only 500 rupees. So first, what we did is, we stopped that. And second, what we also did is, just to, increase the visitation having this, we saw that there was an issue and people were not coming in the number. So we were giving an offer of basically 10% discount on our website and call center for a committed booking. So the rate remained the same, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, but you could basically get 10% discount on website and call center if you make a booking before coming to our jetty to enter. So this is as far as package change is concerned. As far as the total GST liability, which is basically this month versus this quarter versus last quarter, Pragnesh, you have the numbers, right?
Yeah, Manoj, it is 58 crores what we paid this quarter, and last quarter we paid 50 CR. So it's 8 crores extra we have paid.
Yeah, this is only offline, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Puneet is asking for the entire GST paid in this quarter versus last quarter, maybe.
Okay, online we paid 18 CR, what we used to pay 6 CR last quarter. So there is a 12 crores extra what we paid on GST front.
Correct.
Okay. And so one last question. If you can just give a broad understanding of how has the entire industry changed after this impact, how is the competition behaving? And I mean, if you can just give a general landscape of how things have changed for the industry.
So Puneet, go ahead.
As far as
we were obviously focusing on ourselves for this particular quarter, and we being a leader, deducting GST or charging GST from the customer, and then subsequent to that, we decided that, you know, let's just give the full value, because we realized that a lot of our customers were not only going to the competition, they were also choosing to go to other destination, which is like, let's say, Nepal or Colombo. So we went back to 100% value. Competition, there are small operators, not as organized as Delphine. So there, they were probably giving full value from day one. Anil, you were saying something, you can add.
Yeah. On the online space, prior to the new tariff that got introduced, as you all know that we were planning to do an IPO. So during that particular phase, there were several plans that we had chalked out to ramp up the business. But once this came in, so besides the IPO plans, all our marketing initiatives also we put on hold. And a conscious decision was taken to make sure that we on the online space is at profitable. We should not be burning any money. The focus went back to poker, which has always been our mainstay. And all the other initiatives like multi-gaming platform, Rummy, and various other games were put on hold. So we believe all the online companies now are actually following the same format, which is in some form or fashion, they are compensating the players who are putting a deposit in their wallets in full. This, we believe, is not a sustainable model because the difference hits your bottom line straight away. We expect some shakeout and consolidation to take place, so we are waiting for that to happen. Once we get a little bit more visibility on how the competition is going to play out, that's the time we'll probably take our steps and decide what further needs to be done in the online space. So the online space is a little tricky and sensitive, and most of the players we do believe would run out of cash as no new funding is happening.
So the participant has left the queue. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Bhavesh Patel from Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and again, I mean, well done in the difficult situation. I have two questions, and one is around the cases which are ongoing. Number one, on the GST demand for the prior years, and you know, I'm aware that maybe a Supreme Court hearing is upcoming, and associated with Deltin is also the Daman case, which was almost there in terms of the decision, but haven't heard anything recently. And the second is on the overall strategy of the organization and cash on hand, because we have already signed up in terms of our real estate partnership and plan. So if you can throw some light on this, will be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so on the retrospective tax issue, as you would be aware, all our cases are in the High Court, for which we received a stay. Is being fought by a legal team who believes that the claims are arbitrary and not justified in law. So over there, we'll have to wait, and as rightly mentioned by you, it should be coming up for a collective hearing sometime next month. We are hoping that both the verticals are fought on different grounds, the casino separately and the online separately, because they are different games. On the prospective tax collection, I think that clarity has come in, so we are abiding and following the guidelines laid down by the department. Our current projects, two of them, which is on stream, the new boat and the new hotel, these have been taken care and will continue to be taken care with our current cash flows. We may have had a small blip in the quarter that went by, but otherwise the company quarter on quarter is throwing out cash, and it will continue. And that would take care of our current two investments which are ongoing. We have close to post our investment of 100 crores in Peninsula land, about 500 crores still sitting on our balance sheet, for which we have treasury income coming in. So there's substantial comfort in the cash flows and our reserves.
Okay, thank you. Just a clarification on the Daman casino case.
Yes. So actually, yesterday or day before yesterday, it was scheduled to come up. It was listed on the board. Unfortunately, it didn't come up. Now we are seeking for a date, and informally we've been advised that some date next month we probably would be given.
Okay, thank you and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Agastya Shah from Shah Research Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. You gave the number for footfalls for the quarter. Can you also give it for the month of December and December of last year as well?
Manoj?
Yeah, just one second. Yeah. So for December, December last year we had 50,278 visitation, okay, versus this year we had 46,329 visitation, which is almost around 8% lower compared to the December last year.
Okay. And can you also provide me the average gross gaming revenue of December, like both this month and the last year as well?
So, Agastya, that we will have to share with you, okay, because, you know, I don't have that number often right now, the gross gaming revenue, because what happens is now we have changed our methodology and removed the GST from our GGRs, so that we'll have to work out. Pragmesh will send it to you, yeah?
Okay, okay. And also, I believe we had some offers running in December, but still we see a 8% lower footfall in December. So,
yeah.
And like over the whole quarter only we are seeing this, or October was good, but then October, November, December is the lowest amount of footfall.
Yeah, sorry, Agastya. So what happens is, I'll give you the numbers also. Like I said, we have a 8% lower visitation. That is mainly because, see, last year December, you know, was still, you know, maybe because of the COVID and the revenge tourism, people were still traveling and coming to Goa. But this year, we had seen quite a bit of drop in people coming into Goa. I mean, the reflection is that, you know, for 26, 27, 28 December, the flight from Bombay was as cheap as 4,000, 5,000 rupees, which usually go to basically 15,000, 18,000 rupees, you know. So the visitation overall in Goa was lower compared to last year. In fact, if you could ask the taxi driver, they were all saying the reason that, you know, because of the GST implemented to the casinos, people are coming lesser in number in Goa. I mean, I don't know that was one of the reason or not, but yeah, I mean, the overall visitation in Goa was lesser. But like I said, the interesting thing is that in month of December, we went back to our original run rates. Okay, so maybe our visitations were lower, but our gross gaming revenues were more or less similar to what we otherwise do in a month, you know.
Manoj, yeah. Is it possible for you to give us a trend over the last January?
So January also, you know, compared to last year, we are lower in terms of visitation for first 7 days, Anil. Okay, and I mean, I don't know the numbers, but they are definitely lower, more than 8%, 9%. Okay, but you know, our run rates are good. Touch wood.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you said to a previous participant that from July, we will be back to our original revenues. So can you explain how exactly that would be achieved, and what would be the sustainable EBITDA margins then?
So with respect to the numbers, like Manoj mentioned, on a GGR basis, as far as the customers coming in, we are actually more or less on line with that, and the contribution per customer is in line with what they were spending in the past. Now, this tourism issue with respect to less footfall, so whilst I believe that Goa will continue to occupy a preferred destination for all Indians, this drop in footfall we are addressing, and hopefully over the next few months it should be sorted out. Just to give you an idea, the number of flights coming in from different locations have now increased to 29. They're expected to go up to 36 by the end of this month, and so on so forth. I don't have February, March figures. The average arrivals, which generally is in the vicinity of 15,000-16,000 a month, dropped to about 14,000 for the last weeks of December, and everyone's doing whatever they need to do to contribute to ensure that the footfall goes up. So our thinking is stemming from the fact that once the footfall comes back to its original numbers, which was there pre GST, then we have enough ammunition with us, and the marketing team on ground along with the operations team have got plans to make sure that the revenues probably will go up to the levels that we were seeing before. There is a GST impact as well as the promotional chips impact. So it's going to be our endeavor to ensure that the revenue increases, and whilst we are running nearly at full capacity, there is also a plan to slightly change the demographics of the players that come in to ensure that their contribution towards GGR is maintained at a higher level.
Okay, and also if you could comment on your EBITDA margin sustainability, what would be the sustainable EBITDA margin levels then?
Manoj, do you want to get to that?
Yeah, so I think we'll be able to maintain 35-36% EBITDA margin. See, we were at 41% EBITDA margin, okay, and you know, we see that additional 6-7% hit because of the GST, okay, and like we said that most of our costs are fixed costs. So at a steady level with the current capacity, I think we'll be able to go back to the original EBITDA margins, less by around 5-6%. We will try to compensate by generating more revenues, because if we get more revenues, we'll be able to obviously, you know, add to straight away EBITDA, because like I said, it's a fixed cost business. Having said that, I think like Anil mentioned, the next level of growth will come from the new ship, okay, which will come soon in the operations. So the margins will have an impact of only GST. There is nothing else because our costs are predominantly fixed.
Okay. Also, one more question. With regard to the GST demand, can you comment on the possibility of, you know, government ordering any freeze on accounts or any adverse action that they can take?
Really unable to comment on that, Rishikesh. The matter is subject to whatever the outcome, we'll have to wait and watch.
No issues. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rehan Fopalia from Sycomoro. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
First of all, thank you for the transparency on the changes in the business and the numbers provided. That really helps in understanding the way forward. What I wanted to understand was the plan with Peninsula Land. You know, what kind of geographies are you targeting and what projects would you be looking at? And if you could also provide some kind of timeline.
Yeah. So, real estate sector currently seems to be in an upswing cycle. Peninsula have actually been the pioneers and among the first companies to introduce luxury living and commercial spaces. We do believe that they went through some issues but have now managed to come out strong and have cleaned up and have a robust balance sheet. As Delta is concerned, we've been in the real estate play much earlier and we've executed projects and exited profitably. So we felt that there is definitely synergies which lie between the two companies, one which has got execution skills, the other one being us, where we've got some reserve funds lying with us and we would like to deploy it into quick projects. When I say quick projects, probably would be redevelopment projects and small projects which can add value, not long gestation projects. And this can be considered as a slight diversification program from our side. We are not completely sure how this is going to play out, but we are confident that we will be able to, and the whole objective is to build a strong real estate brand. As you are aware, that our current promoters, have real estate in their DNA. So we've seen an opportunity, and we're just going to go by that and hopefully turn it around. At this point in time, what revenue is going to add to our top line, we really can't say, but we are hoping that it does become significant, because after our expansion plans in the casino and hospitality space, there isn't really any scope for further expansion, because the casino business is primarily limited to the state of Goa. and it has a small small presence in the state of Sikkim. So beyond that, we don't see really any opportunity. The integrated resort, yes, like I said, phase one, which is a theme park, which again also happens to be a real estate play. So we're going to be executing that, and then subsequently we'll take it from there.
Okay, that helps. Could you help me with what you mean by quick projects? If you can just give me an example of something that has been done in the past or by any other builder.
So we're looking at small redevelopment projects. There are a few offers and proposals which I can't disclose right now with Peninsula Land. So we've been strategically evaluating them. So we expect permissions to come in between 6-9 months and a quick construction and delivery by anywhere between 18 months to 2 years. So hopefully the end-to-end exercise should be within a period of 3 years. We are looking at an IRR of anywhere between 25% to 30%, and there will be no cost of land involved in this.
Okay. And what kind of geographies are you looking at?
So primarily it's going to be the island city of Bombay. I think we're looking at south and central Bombay. There are a few proposals in Goa also, which where we have our strengths. So to start with, it will be between the two cities.
Okay. Thank you so much, Darren.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavish Patel from Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. The next question is, have we seen any uptick in a Nepal casino, considering that India GST has gone up, and any other plans now that, you know, if you are finding that challenging in India, then maybe even Sri Lanka, we had put it on hold.
Manoj, you take that?
As far as Nepal casino is concerned, it's doing well. It's okay, but you know, we can't look at any other jurisdiction now because, you know, the FDI rules and ODI rules doesn't permit us to invest any casino outside the country. So, I mean, those opportunities are not there anymore for us.
Oh, okay. So, but existing can continue is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay. And then there were some plans to monetize land. I don't remember correctly, but whether it's Sri Lanka or even South Africa, whether we have made any progress on that and our another Adwani hotel stake.
Bhavesh, as far as the Lanka land is concerned, we already sold that land. So we already encashed that value.
And as far as Adwani Pleasure Investment is concerned, at the right, there is no real requirement right now. So it's there in our books. We can monetize it any time. I'm sure when the right opportune time arises, we'll take that call. That investment is
okay.
Turned up about 125 crores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on their touchtone phone now. We'll take the next question from the line of Karan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I just have a few questions related to our real estate business. So firstly, why have we adapted the dual investment strategy in this business by investing in Peninsula Land Limited as well as investing in the JV?
So that's a very simple transaction. Actually, we bought in a small stake in Peninsula Land Limited, and subsequently there we will form a JV for which we will have majority stake. Peninsula will put in their contribution. We'll put in our contribution. We felt that the structure works best for both companies. So that's a decision and thinking behind this whole investment.
Is this the only vehicle through which we are entering this business, or are we planning to collaborate with other experienced industry players as well?
So as far as our foray into real estate is concerned, this JV will be the vehicle. See, the other established and reputed brands are very large, and you know, they don't really need funds from us, and they've got their own projects online. Peninsula has in the past executed projects, and they have a small pipeline of projects which would be there, and we were thinking of capitalizing and monetizing together with them on that. So that's the whole purpose, and we do definitely distinctly see value in this.
Okay. And sir, regarding our capital allocation strategy in this business, so how will it be for the next 3 years, and what will be the peak investment in this business?
So the peak investment would depend upon the opportunity that arises. Right now, we don't really need any debt. We've got enough cash in our balance sheet. Current business is throwing up cash. It's taking care of all our investments. So if there is an safe opportunity that does arise and the IR is lucrative and mouth-watering, we'll definitely plunge into it.
Okay. Any rough guidance, like how much can that amount be for the next 3 years?
So we are starting off with the investment of about 250 crores in the JV. Then we'll see how it plays out, and if and when needed, we'll take a call then. But for now, that's the amount that we've earmarked.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on the Goa land project phase one, will the amusement park also have casino?
No, that's going to be a water theme park. That's not going to have a casino.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you, sir, for all the clarifications.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Dama, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. My first question is regarding the ship. Sir, over last six quarters, we have consistently seen both the timeline of the ship being stretched out more than what it was initially communicated to investors, and even the absolute amount increasing significantly. If you were to look at just the con call of our company 6 quarters back, the amount is more than 100 crores higher what you are saying today. Can you please clarify how has this amount increased by so much?
Okay. So when we embarked on this project, the ship currently has got 5 floors and it's got 1 underdeck. So when we embarked on this project, we had not envisaged for it to become so large. We were focusing on it to just replace our smallest vessel. Subsequently, when this clarity on GST came out and the proposal was to tax on sale of ships, we decided to slightly tweak the ship in terms of facilities available on it. We've added some more retail space. We've added some more space for retail players. We're going to have shops in that. We're going to have a salon in that. There's a food court which has been planned. So a lot of features have been added to that. This resulted in a slight delay. And as far as cost goes, yes, I don't think it's gone up too much. I don't recollect on the last call what was the amount mentioned. But based on the new budget that has been prepared and accepted by the board, we seem to be on track for that.
Right, right.
The ship will also have the largest space available for any outdoor event that can take place in Goa. So, which actually has been, I'm not talking about events like Sunburn, but if you're going to have an off-site party where you get about 800, 1,000 people, this vessel will be able to take care of that. So it will be, besides an entertainment destination, it will also be an F&B destination. It will have areas for children. There is going to be games arcade. There's going to be retail shopping. And of course, enough area for gamers to come in. There's a lot of new introduction in terms of features which we have learned over the last 15 years running our current 3 ships which we have introduced in the ship. So keeping all that in mind, we have just run into a little bit of a delay, and then the vessel being built in a remote location like Hangarkatta and Udupi also has added a bit to the execution process.
Right, sir. And sir, second, I'm not able to understand the strategic view of the company, and I'll put a question. In a way, see, on one side, you know, all you're saying is that the hit from new GST regime is only some 6-7%. And obviously with revenues going up, you'll be able to make up a large portion of that margin hit with revenue increase. But on the other side, company now is doing everything under the sun. We are building a hotel, which we were not earlier. We are not putting up a new casino. We are making it a water park. We are putting now like a lot of theme things in our ship. So from a gaming and we have also invested in a real estate company now. So we seem to be looking at more opportunities outside, thinking that this business might not do well, but this business, if the hit is only 6-7%, why is the view of the company like that?
No, so in case you've got the wrong inference, as far as our casino business goes, it's extremely robust and extremely resilient. We are actually going to decommission one of our smallest vessels, and the new vessel that's going to come into the river is going to be equal to twice the current capacity that we have. So we are doubling capacity. So that only goes to show the faith in the business. We can't do anything more to increase capacity because we have three vessels and there are three licenses which have been issued to us, and no more licenses will be issued. So in terms of increasing capacity with the existing vessels, I think we peaked out. The new ship that comes in and the capacity, that will hold us into good stead for the next 3 to 5 years in terms of churning out revenue, because what we are doing right now, the new ship is going to add double capacity, so you can imagine what the revenues will grow up to. As far as the hospitality sector is concerned, the more capacity we create for our vessels, the more capacity we will need to have in the hospitality space. Currently, we have a 106-room hotel, which over the weekend is completely sold out to all our players. Now, with the new ship coming and new capacity being doubled, we would, at the bare minimum, require about 200-250 rooms. Whilst we are happy to pay for the rooms outside, there are some weekends where you, in spite of what you want to pay, you won't even get rooms. So if that happens, then we are unable to invite our guests, which means it has a direct impact to our revenue. So if you see, all that we are doing is basically to grow our casino business. You're right on the fact that the impact is only small percentages, and that is here to stay. But with doubling the capacity, that would be completely overlooked, and I don't think we'll have an issue with respect to increasing our margins the way Manoj explained.
Right, right. And so the last question is, did I hear you right when you said that our GGR to gross buying of new chips is only like is as high as 70%? So essentially people lose almost 70% of what they buy?
So before this tariff was announced, you know, you would be free to come and buy any amount from our cash cage, let's say about 10,000 rupees. And you could play in any zone, on any level. And depending on the outcome, you could freely go and exchange those chips from the cash cage. So to give you an example, if you bought 10,000 rupees worth of chips and you came back with 5,000 rupees, you would get net 5,000 rupees back in your hand. The system has now changed. If you buy 10,000 rupees right now, we will deduct the TDS and give it to you. And if you come back with any chips, you are not going to get a refund. That's not something that I am dictating. That is something which is the law. So what has happened, where people would buy amounts and probably at the end of the day go back and change, have decided now to control their purchase. So they buy in a smaller lot. And as and when they spend that, and if they need to buy more, they buy more. So therefore, the whole percentage to our drop has gone as high as 70%, and it's just simple logical that you won't do that. And the same fundamental applies to our online business, where people are now controlling the deposits that they make, because you have to straight away pay 28% on the deposit. So that's where the irony lies.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. So to sum up and provide some more clarity on our businesses, as far as our casino business is concerned, I think we have demonstrated, we are demonstrating, and we are pretty much confident that the after the maybe next quarter or maybe two quarters, we would be back to where we were performing. The growth in the business will come in after the new ship comes in, and we are pretty confident that we will be able to excel and deliver revenues in expectation with what we've been doing in the past. The online business currently is a wait and watch. We are definitely expecting some shakeout to take place, and we are hoping to reap some benefits out of that. The current ongoing projects are well taken care of, and they are only going to add to our revenue. The new ship and the new hotel, which is going to complement our gaming business, that's going to further have substantial cost savings, and that is going to directly translate into profits into our P&L account. The integrated resort project, which was currently and temporarily put on hold, we are looking at breaking it up into phases, and we are looking at starting the water theme park, which is a portion of our entire outlay. So the total project that we had envisaged in terms of hotels, retail, convention center, multiplex, and a theme park remains intact, but we start with the theme park. And with respect to our overall financial health, I think we are in a comfortable position, and we have healthy reserves in our balance sheet, and we don't foresee any hurdle coming our way. The investment that we made into real estate is a well thought of investment, and we are pretty confident, given the fact that we've had experience in this, that we will be able to add great value of our investment in Peninsula Land. So with that, I'd like to conclude our summary of our business, and for the next couple of years, the way we see it.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.